This book is about homecomings from the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan and the struggle to find inner peace afterward. It is an intimate look at a handful of the 2.6 million women and men who have served in these longest wars in American history, and what it feels like to return to a country that hasn't really felt war. There has been no war tax and little economic pain. As some soldiers put it to me, "We've been at war while the country has been at the mall." In the United States, less than 0.5% of the population has served. This has consequences now for all of us, on a personal level. For many of us don't know how to begin a conversation with a veteran, how to ask where she's been and what she's been through, how things are for her now. Each side feels the distance. This book is not a plea for national service. I am not prepared to make that case. What I am prepared to argue for is the moral necessity for each of us to be personally engaged in the largest reintegration of American service members into civilian society since Vietnam. The mill sieve walls have to come down. It is critical for the moral healing of soldiers. We have heard much about institutional failures in services for military families and veterans. From unconscionable waiting lists to get medical appointments at Veterans Administration, VA hospitals, to military hospital malfeasance, to homelessness, joblessness, and inequities in the adjudications of military and civilian law. But what we have not heard enough about is our own inner struggles as civilians with what we mean when we say, "Thank you for your service," and why we can't say much beyond that. We have learned that we are supposed to separate the war from the warrior, but we are stuck there, not getting beyond that, and haven't really explored why. The upshot is that we don't feel comfortable talking substantively with veterans about their wars, despite the fact that we teach veterans, work with them, sit next to them on flights, greet them at airports, and so on. War talk still seems taboo. And this is so even for those of us who are good with words, accustomed to meeting new people, whether as lawyers, negotiators, realtors, businessmen and women, high-tech managers and engineers, educators, doctors, architects, scientists, artists, and more. This is my world. And most of those I know, ranging from age 18 through 95, tell me routinely that they don't know how to talk about war with those who are coming home. Most worry about broaching subjects that are private, crossing lines, opening floodgates that will leave each side morally and emotionally vulnerable and unprepared. And yet, almost all the service members I speak with are eager to talk, so that they can begin to bring their wars home and normalize somehow in civilian society. These recent wars are not my dad's war, World War II, for which the distance of a faraway war mixed with etiquette about polite talk at home and in society meant that war wasn't a fit subject of discussion for those who didn't see it. That was my experience as a child of a World War II Army medic, the niece of a Marine who fought mano a mano in Okinawa, and the niece of an Army enlisted man who fought in Italy and the Pacific. And there were other service members in my childhood life, some who even came to visit in uniform. But we didn't talk about war then. It wasn't a fit subject for family evenings. But we are not living in the 1950s, and the current generation of veterans is not my father's. Even the toughest, stoic military types I know, among them special forces guys I teach, often want to share parts of their wars, so long as they can feel a sense of safety and trust. Many other veterans want the same. Let us figure out how to make this happen.